Welcome to the RSVP In Conversation With Member Podcast. RSVP is a member community for the global luxury wedding and party industry, and every week I interview a different member. After half an hour, you'll know them like old friends. Sit back and enjoy. My guest today describes himself thus. As the youngest of three boys, I learned from my brothers what not to do to stay out of trouble. Although I've always enjoyed pushing the limits, something that has translated into my adult life. My first job was delivering the local newspaper in my neighbourhood. In exchange for the newspaper, I helped myself to a flower from the garden of each home. One day, my mother received a phone call and they said, "I'm happy your son loves our flowers, but could he please leave them in the ground?" And she looked at all the blooms in front of her that I'd collected. I was cute, curious, cunning, and a bit confused. If I had chores to do, I was the type to rake the pine needles in the yard, tie elastic round them, and try and sell them on the side of the road. I'm a true Leo, loyal, loving, driven, a natural-born leader, generous and fiercely protective of my people. As a math and numbers guy, I earned a finance degree from the University of Tampa, while not having a clue what I wanted to be or to do with my life. In all honesty, I went to school there because I wanted to get out of the cold and get out of Massachusetts. Having never lived life as a gay man, this was my first opportunity to explore what it meant in a new and unknown environment. A year into college, I found out I was HIV positive, and the life I still didn't know I wanted drastically changed, an experience that has shaped my resilience, appreciation for life, and the confidence I developed to live beyond societal expectations. After college, I spent many years in various sales roles, from selling life insurance, variable annuities, and eventually people as a financial recruiter. Bored as I could be in the corporate world, I knew how to make a change to satisfy my creative side. Now in my mid-30s, I live in the south end of Boston, just 12 miles south of where I grew up, a beautifully clean yet boring city, however filled with smart and motivated individuals that constantly teach you how to evolve. After working for an event design firm for 6 years, I decided to start my own company, which was always my inevitable fate. With a decade of experience in my free time, you can find me on a beach, in the woods, or exploring outside in nature, searching for inspiration. It's no surprise my favorite place to spend time is Provincetown, Massachusetts. As much as I love enjoying the luxuries of life, simple living has great benefits in creating balance from the everyday of our industry. Welcome, David DiCicco.
Thank you for having me.
That is how you pronounce your name, yes?
DiCicco.
DiCicco. I'm sorry. Okay. No.
You know, what's funny, when I was in Italy recently with you, there was a debate between a lot of the Italians, whether it's DiCicco or DiCicco. And well, if there's an I at the end before the O, it's DiCicco.
Normally, if you pronounce it in Italian, I think C followed by a vowel becomes CH. And so that's why the debate was happening anyway.
But yeah.
you're American, so you're not Italian. So it's DiCicco, right. obviously. And ignoramus is like me just talking Italian. Anyway, no problem. Okay, so you've mentioned a little bit about your childhood and your upbringing, but tell me a bit more. Do you have a first memory? Was it a great experience growing up, the youngest of three boys? Now, I was the eldest of three boys, so I know how much my little brother got abused by me and my...
Yeah, I know that feeling. You know, it's funny. You sort of emulate those that are older than you, especially siblings. I mean, I actually played a lot of sports when I was younger, baseball, football, and I was quite good at it, actually. I just was always bored by the end of it. I think I was the type of kid that, as I accomplished something, I sort of was like, okay, I'm done with that. Wash my hands of it and put it aside and on to the next. Also was doing a lot of creative things too. I mean, art classes, things like that. That kind of came out later in life a little bit more.
Now, we're all very artistic. You obviously love flowers. You were stealing them from a very young age.
The irony.
But we are all creative in some way, shape or form. So is there a particular art form that you are drawn towards first and foremost? If there's one thing you couldn't live without, whether it's music, film, theater, ballet.
You know, I would say theater. You know, I think a lot of what we do translates from theater, right? You know, creating that theatrical production. I was never really into painting or something that had an end product in that regard. I think anything physical. I think, you know, having such a, say, sports and physical background and art, physical art form for me. So that could be dancing. You know, I spend a lot of days on a ladder So that, I would say that in dancing, for sure. I love to let loose.
Okay. And it's a particular kind of theater. Is it drama, comedy, musicals?
I would say musicals if it's in person. Otherwise, I get a little bit bored, to be honest. I think the music kind of helps.
And so what's your favorite musical? Or just give me a few of the ones which you would...
Oh, Dreamgirls, hands down, my favorite musical. And you know what? I saw it in London for the first time.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one that made Jennifer Hudson, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
The movie,
I think, yeah. I saw it after the movie, but I had never seen the actual movie. I got in a lot of trouble for that with the gays. How did you not ever see? I saw it later.
Okay. And are you into film? Got favorites? Do you go in front of Netflix and just do a box set?
Yeah. You know what? I try to stay away from TV, to be honest. I feel like I get sucked in sometimes. So one of my favorites when I was younger was Cruel Intentions.
This weekend, I got sucked in by Series 5 of Fargo. That just took my weekend away from me.
I was caught up on Netflix Fool Me Once. It's a TV show.
Yes, I saw that. It's a bit odd. It's not very sort of... real to life.
No.
if you
and the ending, I was kind of like,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm satisfied or sad, yeah, or both, but yeah, it drew me in for sure.
Favorite drinks? So if you went into a bar with a hot barman behind it and every drink you could possibly ever order, what would you order apart from the barman?
Until I realized that vodka doesn't really agree with me anymore, I would have told you a Grey Goose Dirty Martini, blue cheese stuffed olives. I can have one. If I have two, I'm screwed the next day. So tequila or bourbon at this point.
Okay. Okay. Well, straight, mix in a cocktail?
Tequila, I would do straight if it's nice enough. Bourbon, little bit of honey, lemon, mint, shaken over ice really hard, and then just poured up. As long as it's frothy and chilled enough, it's perfect. Very refreshing.
Okay. So... you have this amazing barman producing all these wonderful drinks for you in your home, and you're having a dinner party. So what kind of food is on the table? What's your favorite go-to?
I would say I'm a fish guy. So a ceviche, an ahi tuna, some sort of raw moment in the beginning. And then I would definitely transition to a bronzino is one of my favorites. Mediterranean style, sea bass.
Italian's coming out in you then.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely some Italian side in there that comes out.
So you have the great barman, you have all the amazing drinks, you have this wonderful fish gastronomic delight. So who is around the table? Who's your dream dinner party? Anybody alive or dead? Fictional or has lived?
Fictional or has lived? You know, honestly, this is going to sound, I guess, a little corny, but a lot of my family's adopted that I know. And I think it would be really cool to see my ancestry there and really understand a little bit more about where I came from. I think I'd be less interested in having celebrities and influential people there. My mother was adopted, my uncle, I have two cousins that were. So, yeah, I think learning a little bit more about the history of my family would be something I'd very much enjoy.
Have you been able to look back and find out who the birth parents were?
Yeah, so actually, crazy story. I did 23andMe probably about 8 years ago. So I got to see, you know, my genetic breakdown.
What's 23andMe, in case anyone doesn't know?
23andMe is one of those websites where you can basically send in your DNA and they gotcha. Break it down what you are based off of, you know, everyone that is in that pool. So it actually changes on a regular basis as more people contribute. And a couple years later, I had my mother do it. A year after that, we actually had a random connection to someone. And within 3 weeks, we found her birth mother, which, you know, honestly, for me, I'm so similar to my mother in looks, in creativity. She's also an entrepreneur. She's an artist. And I really was looking to see if there was other gay people within my family, because that is such a gene. I mean, I have so many friends that have multiple siblings and no one else in my family is. And so I kind of thought it was from her side. So long story short, without even actually wanting to find her birth mother, we did. So definitely opened up a little emotional can of worms for a bit there. But yeah, It was, we found her.
Wonderful. Was she still around or not?
She was still around. My mother actually was able to have some conversations with her, and they were planning to meet. Sadly, she ended up passing away before they had the opportunity to do so. But I have a half aunt and a half uncle, and the half uncle is a gay man who's living in DC. So kind of funny that my curiosity is really came to be true. So it's been nice for her to have, you know, a little bit of a relationship with them now too.
Now, we all work too hard in this industry. We all need some time away from things. I was telling you about Iceland just before we came on. Where's your go-to place? Where do you just go and just chill out?
To your point in my opening paragraph, Boston, although it's a very smart and beautifully clean city, it can be quite boring. So I have a great group of friends here, and we enjoy spending time in Provincetown. A number of them have homes there. So very popular place in the summer, spring. But we also go down there in the wintertime. You know, it's a good place to be able to be outside, enjoy nature. You know, I go quite often, pretty much as much as I can. I actually lived there during the beginning of the pandemic. I rented a place down there just to be able to get out of the city with everything that was going on here. Kind of my saving grace, honestly, really got me through 2020.
And do you have a bucket list? Is there anything still to be on your bucket list? You're very young, so I imagine it's quite a long one of things still to do.
I appreciate that. Honestly, so I had this goal to visit every continent by the time I was 30, and I'm now 35, and the only one I have not been to is Antarctica, which I've heard you can take fabulous cruises there, or you could even do a day trip, I think either from South America or somewhere in Australia. So I don't know. It's funny, as I get deeper and deeper into, you know, my profession, I feel like anytime I have an opportunity to go on holiday, I want to go somewhere warm. So the thought of going to Antarctica really becomes less and less of a concern, I guess.
Now, in 10 years' time, you'll be in your mid-40s. Where do you want to be, both professionally and personally? What's your plan?
Yeah. You know, personally, I think I would like to be in a place where I have a partner, potentially even children. It was always something I wanted when I was younger. And I think as I've gotten older, I've made it less of a priority. But I do feel like sometime in my 40s, I think I'll be in a better place mentally and financially to have a family. And I think from a professional standpoint, you know, I just started my fifth year, which still seems so young, even though there's been so much change with that. I have quite a small team. And so in 10 years from now, I would love to see myself with a larger team doing more destination events, which is really something we've focused on the past few years. And really just being in a place where my balance is something that I don't always have to be 100% a part of each of those events. So I think as the next 10 years progress, you know, getting myself into a place where I can have time for family and a partner, where I feel like, you know, the past few years, the thought of any of that is just very hard to imagine given how busy we can be.
Well, and considering you started off 5 years ago, which obviously 2 years were lost.
Right.
You know, I think you've done very, very well to be where you are in
effectively
3 years worth of work.
Yeah.
At that point, although obviously the past 2 years has been insane.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was also very fortunate to work for someone prior and, you know, met a lot of great people during that time, built a lot of relationships. So my transition was not, I guess you could say, as difficult as it might have been for most. I wasn't starting from ground zero, I guess.
Question here is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I have thought of this. I would like to be able to teleport.
Okay.
Not through time. I don't want to fuck with any of that. I think, you know, that could just end poorly. But I live a life of how can I make things more efficient, personally and professionally. I don't want to deal with the commute, all of those types of things. So I think the ability to teleport would be great.
So it's a beam me up sort of David kind of conversation.
Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. You know, it's like if all of a sudden I'm like, I'm cold. Let me get out of here. I'll go straight somewhere warm. You know, we travel so much in this industry. Wouldn't it be nice to just not have to be on the airplane?
Yeah, and all the airlines and the train companies and the car companies would go bust overnight.
Yeah.
And global warming would cease, probably. So it isn't a bad idea, really.
Well, I mean, like, think about working in New York City, right? You have to go from uptown to downtown. Like, the amount of time that it takes to do that, it's actually one of the reasons I actually love living in Boston. It's a small city. If you're doing something anywhere in it and have to get across to the other side, it doesn't take that much time. It's very efficient.
I must admit, it's the one part of the States I've never been to. I mean,
really?
So all I know Boston is of watching the film The Departed, which probably isn't the best advert for the city, probably not.
Anyway. I describe Boston as the it's very similar to London, honestly. I mean, it's smaller, but it's clean. And it has, I think, you know, some of the, you know, the most history that that the United States can have. Whereas when you go to New York City, I love New York, but I mean, it's so large and it's so damn dirty. Sorry to anyone. I don't want to offend anyone with that.
No, I do have to agree. And the subway in New York is third world.
Yeah. Yeah. London is like the size of New York, but the cleanliness of Boston. But obviously, you know, we derived from that. So
the quickest way to get around New York is sadly using the subway.
Yeah.
Sadly.
If you want to visit Boston, come in the spring or summer and do a Provincetown trip at the same time. You see this like beautiful balance of the city and you know, the beautiful nature that Massachusetts can provide.
And I've always wanted to go to Cape Cod as well. So
yeah,
we can do the whole trip. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. If you could switch lives with anybody for a day, who would it be?
I guess I would say the president, and not necessarily the current one. And here's why. Quite honestly, you know, I, and I'm okay with being a little bit vulnerable about my lack of knowledge with politics. I follow it as much as I can, as much as I need to stay relevant. But it would be interesting to really kind of understand how that works from their perspective and the people around them, especially with how insane everything is in the United States and continues to be. It's embarrassing in a lot of ways. So I think that would be a great learning experience for me. You know what I mean? Like I'm a finance math guy. So like to be, you know, a big investor or someone, I think I'd be okay with not experiencing that. I'd like to do something where I truly would learn a lot of something that's not my everyday focus.
And what are you most afraid of? Dark, spiders?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I think most people would answer this question with death, but it's really not something I'm afraid of. I've had a few near-death experiences in my life. I would say the one thing I'm afraid of, quite honestly, is just not having the means to have security. When I was younger, I never really noticed what my family's wealth level was or was not.
Yeah.
I had two very hardworking parents that never made us feel that way. And I think one of my fears growing up was always, if I don't do this to get to this level, to get to that level, I'm never going to have the means to not have to worry about this. I don't want to have that worry in life. So I think, yeah, having security is definitely something that is a luxury.
I mean, you mentioned your near-death experiences, and we don't have to go down there if you don't want to, but were they linked to your HIV or was it something?
That was the first one. You know, it's funny, when I found out my diagnosis, which was my sophomore year of college, I was 20 years old. So I was quite young. And in 2010, which was a year after I found out, that's when I started taking medication. And back then, common practice was to wait to take medication until your viral load was so high and your T-cell count was so low that you were considered to have AIDS. And I was actually studying abroad at the time. I was in Rome and I was noticing all the lymph nodes in my body swelling. And I saw the changes happening in my body, which was a very frightening time for sure. And I came back, I started medication, and within 1 month I was undetectable. Which essentially means you can't detect the virus in your body. And I've been that way ever since, you know, thank modern medicine. But yeah, it was definitely at a time where, you know, for someone to not only tell you have HIV, but hey, you in textbook definition, you have AIDS was definitely quite alarming. The second time I was riding my bicycle to work and a car cut me off. And I actually was coming down a hill and I went straight into his passenger side, flipped over the car, and I kind of like tuck and rolled and stood right up. And probably 20 people around me were like, do not move, sit down. You know, you're never supposed to move after something immediately just in case, you know, neck. Yeah. And I remember getting to the ER and the doctor was like, do you know how many people have died at that intersection in like not accidents that weren't even as bad as what yours described to be? So I felt very lucky in that scenario.
You should be an acrobat.
Yeah, no, honestly. So James, I'm telling you, one of the things I wanted to be when I was a kid, I was like, I should have done gymnastics. Like I'm quite flexible. I have a great sort of frame, if you will. And I honestly, I think the years of playing sports and being physical actually put me in a situation where I kind of braced myself for it. And I was relaxed enough, if you can imagine that, you know, I think when people tense up in those scenarios, that's when true damage happens. So yeah, that was a crazy experience.
Well, I'm nearly 20 years older than you. And I do know, I mean, you're maybe relatively fortunate that you were born when you were and not 20 years old, because when I was in my teenage years, etc., AIDS was a death sentence. So, yeah. And we listened to all the messages and got the horror stories and things like that. So, yeah, it's but just congratulations on being out about it, because it can't be an easy thing to do, and I imagine there's lots of people that aren't. But as a poster boy in our industry and in the gay community, as someone who's out, congratulations.
I appreciate that. You know, I think at this point in my life, I've accepted it so much to the point where I think if there's people out there struggling with a similar scenario, if me talking about it helps them in any way, I think that's really important. And actually, when I did become a little bit more public with it, I had a lot of people, specifically older generations, reach out to me and thank me for doing so. And I wasn't expecting that response. It was certainly very humbling. And I think I was sort of on this cusp of having, you know, not the experience that your generation had or the one that even my current has. I was sort of this little in-between area. So I feel like I've seen both sides to it, which again, just gives you appreciation for life. I have a dear friend who says, you know, he uses his adversities as his superpower. And, you know, I think this experience has definitely made me very resilient. And it certainly is one where, you know, it gives you an appreciation for life. So I'm not going to get stuck doing something I don't want to do, like those sales roles back in the day. Now I just sell myself, essentially.
Has anyone influenced you a lot in life and giving you good pieces of advice over the years?
I realized this more than ever recently, as cliche as it may sound, and I know not everyone has this experience, but I have such a wonderful family. You know, my father was actually a delivery driver for FedEx for 38 years, but also has a business degree. So he's always taught me how to budget and how to be smart with your money. And my mother is a creative and an entrepreneur. And I genuinely have 50-50 from both of them. And it took until having my own company to realize that. One of the things that I'm so fortunate for is I really am able to use both sides of my brain in that capacity. Most creatives don't have the financial business mindset.
Yes.
And yeah, it's something that I constantly share with clients and people within our community, because it really is so relevant to how I'm able to operate my life and my business.
It's very, very rare for both the left and right side. I mean, there's very, very few people that I've even encountered can even do it. You know, they're either one or the other. But it's a very unique attribute, definitely, definitely.
It's funny. I had an event planner friend reach out to me recently, because anytime I public speak or present, it's usually on the business side and the financial. And she said, David, you're so amazing with your actual work too. Are you ever going to talk about design? And I was like, well, you know, everyone does. Like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I will a little bit at some point. Or the financial side of design and the engineering of things and how that is calculated through math. That might be one of my next topics, but I don't know. I like the business side of things.
Any regrets in life? Any sliding doors moments? You thought, well, if I'd have taken that path?
Honestly, I mean, there are things that I have regretted and I've learned not to. And, you know, I try not to live without regrets. Maybe there's a couple relationships I probably wish I hadn't had. But
well, we've all
you learn what you don't want from them and anyone in the future. So I don't know. I try not to have any regrets.
Right, we're coming to the end of our time together now. We're nearly about 30 minutes, so that's wonderful. So, David DiCiccio, and I normally now do a sort of a little punny kind of thing at the end, but I've been so engrossed by the conversation that I've not had time to write anything.
That's okay.
So, I just want to say, David DiCiccio, you are a total inspiration. Thank you so much for a very entertaining conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was very fun. Not to talk business, but, you know, just talk about life.
Thank you for listening. If you wish to join RSVP, please go to the website, rsvp.club, or email me, james@rsvp.club. See you all next week.